American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Coming up today on Shift and Steer, we got so much to talk about, man, because we've been all over the place. Aaron's been digging out of snow.
Yeah.
So he's been building
rain,
the snow caves.
And I don't know what he's doing.
and you and I have been over to Scottsdale for auction week.
That's right. We hit up quite a few auctions. You did a little shopping for yourself and Mikey at Barrett Jackson. And,
I did.
I swung by RM and Gooding as well to see what's going on over there.
Yeah, and so we got a lot to talk about. Plus, we're going to give you a preview of the Grand National Roadster Show. I went out on setup night to see what was going on out there, and I know Matt's headed out there today. So by the time that you hear this, it'll all be done. It'll all be in the books, but we're going to tell you what we saw. And it's all coming up today, and it's brought to you part.
Maybe you own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it can be a lot of work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjoy, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Auction week.
Auction week.
It was fun. So I went out to the gala event on Sunday night and then flew back, did a couple of podcasts, and then
flew back
to Arizona Wednesday night, late night, and hit up the auctions bright and early. And you know, Barrett Jackson is such a big event and they move so many cars that all the cars that come across the block, they go back outside into the tents and you can see them, what they sold for. But the other auctions don't normally do that. The cars
hide them away.
Yeah, they hide them in a garage or in another tent. So you kind of want to get out there for the preview days. Although RM has been doing a thing now where typically you need to be a bidder or something to get access or media or something like
yeah.
that. It's not a public event, really.
They never have done that. Even like up in Monterey, I've always gotten a bidder's pass in past years so I could go through and
hang
out.
A few cars outside. You kind of look over the fence and see it, like at the Portola Hotel. But RM, which has been doing their auction at the Biltmore, doesn't put any of the cars inside anymore. It's all outside. So they're not breaking their own rule on that you have to have a pass. You can kind of just go and look at all the cars and walk around and see. And then when they get sold, they go into the parking garage. But I went over there Thursday morning. We went with our buddy Tyson and his dad. And we checked out the RM preview on Thursday morning, and then Gooding on Friday morning, and then the rest was just Barrett Jackson in the afternoons and stuff, and some pretty interesting cars. I mean, first, I think the thing that we noticed now, you know, all of us would be the other than John Cena, the 2-year agreement for the 4 GTs, the first allocation of cars, those first 250 cars,
they're starting
or so,
to show up.
The 2-year agreement's done. So the 2017, the first allocation, 2017 4 GTs are now being able to sell. And every auction seemed to have one.
And RM even had a 2018.
Then they did, and then they didn't.
Exactly. It did the disappearing act after Ford Legal made a quick little phone call.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure there was just some like, well, I bought it on this date, and it goes by, I don't know if it goes by build date or purchase date or whatever. Like,
yeah.
But everybody seemed to have 4 GTs, and look, people are paying what, $550 on average, between $500 and $600. Let's call it $550 on average for them. You were on the list, and you get to build an order. And actually, you can the final allocation is still out there. Our friend Ken Lingenfelter is on the list, and he's still deciding what color to build his.
Ken also shared with me that he told me how many Corvettes he could buy for the price of one Ford GT.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But the estimates were about 750 to 1 million for these cars. And they were getting more than that. They were getting million and a quarter.
Wow. Yeah, like a million 250, million 1.5. And
all over $1 million, and that's the hammer price before you even get into the fees. But so they're $1.5 million cars, or you know, close to $1.25 million, $1.5 million.
Did you see, Aaron, any of the photos of the ones that went across the block at Barrett Jackson?
Wasn't there like some lime green one?
I was just gonna say that lime green one. Mm-hmm. It looked really good going across the block.
Really?
If you told me a lime green GT, I'd be, I don't know, but it did look pretty good out in the sun and waiting in the staging lanes. It looked pretty damn good. I took some pictures of it that I posted, and it looked great.
You know what's interesting is
like Frogger trying to cross the street in that.
Exactly.
That, oh yeah, yeah. You know, when you get on. When you get selected for these lists to get the first allocation of cars, you know, there's an application process. You have to have a history with the company, whether it be McLaren or Ferrari or in this case, Ford. And you kind of earn your way up to it, right? You know, and it's always funny to me, like, to bring up Ken when he got and your dad, by the way, Aaron, is when you're on the list to get like a LaFerrari,
right?
You get the letter in the mail like, congratulations,
you can spend a ton.
We're going to take your $1.5 million and you get one of these cars. And then you're like, oh, I'm so happy I get to spend $1.5 million on one of these cars. But on some level, it could be free money, right? Because you spend 1.5, and when you are able to sell it, if you choose to, you know, what's a LaFerrari? $2 million, two and some change right now?
Yeah.
That's good. It's a good, you know, it's
something
going
like
up in value.
Yeah, I think close to three.
However, McLaren didn't do that well because I know the P1s were an exclusive car. Then after that, the Senna. And the Senna was like, this car is awesome.
$1 million, they sold everyone they could build.
That's it. $1 million for that car. You had to get on the list. You had to, you know, and you go through that process and you wait and you do all that. And then some of these guys are like, I don't really want to drive it much. I might want to flip it in 2 years. And they weren't getting there. Look, I'm not saying it was going to be a $4 million car, but I think people were expecting about $500,000 of profit on that car.
I think so.
You know,
I think so.
They're thinking
yeah.
about 1.5 would have been a fair price for that.
But to lose money, that's not what they were planning on.
There's one that went at RM. The high bid was $1 million, and they turned it down. Didn't meet the reserve.
Right.
That would have been a break-even point. Probably lose money considering his fees and the taxes he's already
paid. And there's always hidden costs. You buy them for $1 million. There's the dealer delivery and all the other you know, stuff you got to go through.
So. Yeah. You know, and $100,000 in taxes.
Yeah.
Right? And then one went up at Barrett Jackson, and the hammer price was like $836 or so.
I thought it was $890, but I'm not sure. I'd have to look at hammer price.
It sold for under $1 million. I think it was like $950-ish, $947, $951 all in. And I was like, somebody kind of lost some money on that, probably a couple hundred grand. I was probably pretty disappointed. And I'm up in the skybox, and I run into Peter Clute. If you know Peter, he's a really nice guy. He's the Canadian dude who runs Legendary Motor Cars.
Mm-hmm.
He has a TV show. He's got a very good he's sort of the Canadian Bruce Canepa as far as trading cars and put things in his showroom. And you know, his company is successful enough that he can buy a handful of cars. And I was like, hey, how you guys been doing? He goes, man, he goes, some of these cars are a pretty good buy. I go, yeah. He goes, I bought 14 cars, including that Senna. And he goes, I'm going to bring it home into my showroom. And I was leaving Sunday morning. And he's like, what are you doing tomorrow on Sunday? I was like, I got to fly home. He's like, yeah, because I bought 14 cars. And I'm just going to get a bunch of friends and go drive them around Phoenix for a while. And I was like, oh, man, I really wanted to do that. And he's like, yep, you're missing the Senna opportunity.
Yep.
And then he goes, oh, and on Monday we're all going to the Bonnaroo School to do like a friend's weekend, a day at the Bonnaroo. I was like, gosh, damn it.
God, I got to work.
Yeah, but he was just like, I couldn't believe He's like, I just picked up a Senna for less than $1 million.
Yeah. I mean, who would have thought? Because when they came out, everybody thought, oh, they're $1 million. I'm getting on the list. I'm going to. Everybody that could bought one and thought they're going. But the McLarens across the board, they're not holding their value. The 720Ss that went across.
A great car.
Oh,
I love that 720S.
My favorite car. I mean,
man, so good.
But one of the reasons is because
they're British.
If you walk in and you have a Pulse and you have $10,000, they finance you.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of them. And that's what I got that from a car broker friend of mine. He goes, what I do when a, I sell lots of high end cars. And he goes, when somebody comes in and says they want a McLaren, I tell them right away, I go, okay, just know you're going to lose $40,000 or $50,000 on it. Just write that off. And he goes, I tell them that because I don't want them to be mad at me later on. Yeah. You know?
And that's tough. So many of these car companies, Aaron, you've seen this too, is so many of these car companies start to do special edition cars, 50 of this, 20 of that, 10 of this, 100 of that, and they're trying to do that to create some exclusivity for that car. But unfortunately, the Senna, for example, sort of broke the mold for that. That was an exclusive car, super high-end.
Yep.
And it just wasn't there. Now, it'll go up. And look, a guy like Peter Clute bought it for, he's all in at like $950 plus a couple thousand dollars for transport. You know, he could take it to his place at home and sell it for, you know, $1 million, $1 million, and go, hey, I made $150,000. That's a good day. And he's in it for the business. He's not, you know, and go, hey, $100,000 is $100,000.
Plus, he got to drive it, and he goes, hey, man, I drove a Senna, and, you know, that was it.
Yeah, and honestly, for a car like that, if it had 200 miles or 1,000 miles, it doesn't make a difference. It's really not, it's not that kind of car. This isn't something where you're like, oh, this has been in a barn for so many years. You know, we've seen this quite a bit, was where when cars first start to go up in value, you know, like right now, like Acura Integra R's,
or, Supras,
and the Mustang Cobra R's we saw.
It's always got to go to the Mustang Cobra.
Oh, yeah.
R.
It's all about low miles.
Right.
But, you know, you go buy a Miura SV, it really doesn't matter if it's got 30,000 kilometers or whatever on it versus 10 or whatever. It's not going to make that much of a difference.
Or it takes a long cycle time because, let's take the Buick Grand National or GNX. GNX is a really good example. That was a very limited production car. Mm-hmm. At the time, you know, everybody wanted the Darth Vader of cars. So everybody bought them. And 99% of those cars got put away in capsules, wrapped. Oh, don't dealer prep it. I want the plastic left on the seats, the window sticker. So then when the guys 20 years later thought they were going to, you know, just lay people away with it, they were going for way under value because of the fact. I mean, there was a time, I'm going to say 95, 96, that you could get one of those cars for every day of the week for $40,000 or $50,000 with 10 miles on the odometer. And now one went on Bring a Trailer for what was it, 200,000, I think so. Yeah. Because now it cycled enough that now people are going, some of those guys who bought them for 40 or 50 and actually drove them, now there's a handful of them that are 1 mile time capsules. So they all start going back up again.
They do, and that I'm always torn on stuff like that. I guess it's just because, you know, I just don't have the resources and the finances to buy 10-mile, 30-mile, 40. Yeah, I just can't buy these cars and not do anything with them. They're so much more fun to drive.
Oh yeah,
I love the Grand National. I should have bought yours back in the day. You should have sold me yours.
You should have bought it.
And you know, and with a few miles, I like to drive. It doesn't mean you're going to drive it every day, but, you know, even my M3, you know, 1,000 miles, 2,000 miles a year, like, that's all it really needs, and I have a lot of fun with that car. And plus, you could have stored it for me forever.
Yeah, you could have just paid me for it and just sit in my building.
Sit in your building?
So,
hey, actually, the guy you sold it to, it did sit in your building for like another year.
It did. It took him a year to come get it.
Yeah.
So I finally had to call him and go, dude, you got to come get this car.
You should have said, you sold it again, no refunds.
Exactly. Aaron, did you see anything? Did you watch any of the coverage, or because of snow, you had snow delays?
No. You know, I have a thing where I have a hard time watching on TV to be there. So I didn't watch it this year because I wanted to be there. I couldn't make it. There's a lot of stuff going on January and February. Crazy months for us. But, no, you know, I had a couple other buddies there. My buddy Pat gave me a scoop on the Izettas. Because, of course, I always have those on my mind. And
I didn't even see one there.
Yep. There was two. I forget the exact numbers are on my phone, which is connected to my ear at the moment. But I think one was 29 and one was 30-something. So they're right on the money, boy.
Did they have floorboards?
Yeah.
Were they? Did both of those had floorboards?
In fact, he said they were very nice restorations. But still. The standards are going for top dollar in the market still, which is really good. That's mm-hmm. a good thing.
You didn't notice it because the new X7 SUV with the giant kidney grills on the front of that BMW.
Yes.
There was an Isetta stuck in the grill like a bug.
Exactly. And not only that, Ed Barrett,
the Sport GT to pick it out.
Yeah. Right. I mean, Scottsdale Auction Week is getting. It's always been crazy, but now you've always had Russo and Steele across the freeway.
Yeah.
But now you've got Leak.
Didn't do so well.
Didn't do so well. Yeah. $8 million, wow. I heard, in total sales. That's nothing.
Yeah.
And now you have Leak on the other side of the freeway.
I saw all the tents. I didn't go. Did you go over there?
I did not go. And I'm going to say, I know Gary Bennett really well. He's
and we keep
a friend of mine.
Bonhams is out there as well.
I know Bonhams and Silver. I mean, there's mm-hmm. there's worldwide car auctions.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of them that you don't even But I got to say, we're really close to it. Mm-hmm. Hardly heard anything on pre-promotion about the Leak auction. I don't know what the deal was. It was like it was there, but it wasn't there. But they did well. They had. Fairly decent sell through for a first time auction, and then of course Gooding and RM did
well. They did well. So RM did $30 million. Mm-hmm. Gooding did $35 million.
Yeah,
which is interesting because that they just had high dollar cars, whereas RM typically has a few more cars, and mm-hmm. they just. And Barrett Jackson set a record in their 49-year history. They did $141 million.
I know. And think next year is 50 years of Barrett Jackson auctions.
Yeah.
And that's going to be an interesting year because they're going to want to break an auction. So they're going to do everything. They want to blow it off, so it's going to be interesting. But the
I tell you, though, when we were at Monterey, we saw about a 30% drop in the collector car market at Monterey, which is usually the vintage 60s, 70s cars, the high-end Ferraris, some of the racing cars, and the exotics. Not very heavy on the muscle car world.
Right.
And then we saw that market, again, take a little bit of a hit in Scottsdale with RM and Gooding and some of the other ones. They did well, but just it's starting to level out. Whereas Barrett Jackson started moving muscle cars for batshit crazy money, and the rest of mods, like the good cars, the good SEMA builds, are pulling good money. I'm a fan of that because some of these builders are so good that it's nice to see those cars starting getting the attention financially that they kind of deserve.
Oh, yeah. And one of the things that we saw this year is Broncos have mm-hmm. just – and my question is, have they peaked out?
Have they
peaked out? Because when you see these things at $200,000 and $300,000, $400,000 for a charity one, they might have hit their peak because they can't go any farther. And then C10 trucks,
yeah,
long box truck on a Thursday night going for $100,000.
Yeah,
that's nuts.
Jeez. That's pretty crazy.
That's nuts.
It came with a free Isetta though.
Yeah, exactly. So trucks, C10s were going for phenomenal money. And we saw that box Chevy truck that showed up at SEMA, the red, white, and blue Indy pace car replica that slammed.
Really done well. Really nice truck.
The only thing that would have made that truck any better, he probably would have got $200,000 if he had my wheels on it.
If he had your wheels
on it. Yeah, but he had some off-road.
He owns the real pace car truck and didn't want to modify it, so they made this this sort of.
The truck is very attractive. It looks great. He built it fantastic. and 150 grand went across the block.
I think that's kind of a break-even number for it.
Is it? Because it's all the money for that truck, I think. You know,
but not a lot of overhead. In Arizona, you know, they have the guys have the big shop in the back of the you know, the house. Marcus Angel, we talked about, who's the really nut and bolt, like, Mustang historian.
He's Chris's brother?
No.
Okay.
But he is performing some magic on Goldberg's Lawman Mustang.
Good comeback. I like that.
And that guy has a shop and has a huge shop.
I know a lot of guys.
Like 2,000 square feet.
You know why that is? Because in Arizona you can get lots of land. Yes.
So the guy that built that truck, the pace car truck, built it in his shop. He has another business. I don't know, cement or something he's into. And
Something where he makes money.
Yeah. And, you know, he built this in his backyard, still for $150,000, right? You know, like, I probably got that much into a Fox body, and I'm tapping on the door of six figures with my truck.
Yes, exactly.
It's because of those damn wheels I bought.
Yep. It's all the wheel guys. You know, that's why we're loaded.
That's why you're spending money at Barrett Jackson.
Hell yeah. And I can tell you all about that, too. So, I'll tell you the story. So, there's all those cars there. What did they have? Like 2,600 cars consigned at Barrett Jackson this year?
2,000. Yeah.
And we always get the catalog ahead of time. And Michael Anthony was looking through it, and he called me. And he goes, he was supposed to go over with me, and then he had something come up. And so he goes, Brad, I've been looking through the catalog. There's a few cars I got my eye on. And he goes, and if you see anything over there, let me know. So when I got over there, checked out everything, and there was one hot rod that he had on his list. So I went and looked at it, and this happened to be a car that we built at Boyd's. Mm-hmm. And so I knew the car really well. And what I didn't know is that the car, after it left the shop, had never been driven. It had 50 miles.
Oh, wow.
When we redid it with cashing out, it had 69 miles on it. So... And you can tell because, you know, the cars that we used to build at Boyd's back in the day, you know, every surface is painted, every surface is polished and underneath the, cause this is a full fendered 1932 Roadster. And it was, there wasn't a rock chip. I mean, I crawled up and around and over that thing. And the only thing I could find on the whole car was where at one time somebody must have picked a bug out of one of the aluminum fins on the radiator and had a little tweak on it. Other than that, it's absolutely perfect. And bright Boyd red with it's got a ZZ7 motor in it, you know, and the a nice kind of tobacco colored interior.
Yeah,
really, really nice car. And the story on it was that car over in the corner that. At any shop, you've got usually sitting there so that if somebody finishes something up and they're not ready to move to the next thing, you send them, go work on that car. Mm-hmm. And so it was always the car in the corner being worked on, shop car. And at one point, our shop manager, Dick Brogdon, he bought it from Boyd. And so got finished up, got shipped back to Illinois where he lives, and that was the last I ever saw of it till it appeared there, and I guess he had sold it to some guy who buys and flips cars out of St. Louis.
I wanted to ask you about that because it was unclear to me if he sold it or somebody was repping him and selling it on his behalf.
No, this guy out of St. Louis buys Boyd cars when he finds them.
Okay.
And as I understand it, that guy had bought it and was selling it. And
okay.
So anyway, checked out the car. And, you know, when you're buying cars for someone, you never know, especially when they're not there, if they're really going to, you know, at the last minute, they might go, you know, you get kind of cold feet because you're not there, you know, or when you're bidding on it, you know, so we've done that enough. We know, well, I'm up there in the skybox and I call Mikey and I say, hey, Mikey, I said that car's coming across and I told him, here's what's going on here. Since I got here Thursday, everything's been going for huge money.
Yeah.
I said, there's been very few. I said, there's been a few hot rods that have crossed the block that are soft. Mm-hmm. But they're not nice hot rods. You know, there's a reason they were soft.
Yeah, people are starting to pay attention to the quality of work and paying for it.
And there was a car, a 34 that crossed earlier in the day, and it was the car that won the Grand National Roadster Show in 2011. But it'd been driven since then, and it was a and it went for a hammer price on it, I believe, was 167.
Okay.
So that was kind of my baseline that I was working on, and I told him, I said if we could get this car in the 70 to 90, we'd be stealing it.
Yeah.
And I said, but we're probably going to be more like a buck and a quarter. Buck and a quarter is the price that I really think is the right money for it. If it goes over that, we just walk away.
Geico, maybe you own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it can be a lot of hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
So comes time, car comes up.
Yeah.
And what I found out later from people that were watching it at home was what worked in our favor was that they went to commercial when that square body truck came up.
Yeah.
They went to commercial. Then there was a Corvette. And as they came back from commercial, the hot rod was coming, just rolling up.
Yeah.
And they diminished the screen. And Rick here in the office told me that they diminished it really small. You couldn't read it. There was no audio. And they're playing the split screen with commercials.
Yeah.
And so I'm like going, nice, you know, for us, because nobody's, you know, at home bidding on it. And so the car comes up and I jumped in at like 50,000.
Yeah.
And then you were right there, Matt.
Yeah.
You took some pictures and did some video. And then we got up. I bid 125. And actually, at 110, I told him I was out. I said, no, I'm out.
Yeah, that's right. You said out at 110, and then Mikey was on the phone.
And I talked to Mike, and I go, Mike, if we can get it for 125, it's probably a good price. Let's, you know, and he goes, okay, let's do it. So we did a couple more bids and ended up at 125. And then
it got a little confusing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was even more confusing for Mike because Mike's at home. So on the TV, he can't see what's going on.
Right.
So he's online.
There's a little bit of a
delay. He's on his computer, and he said even there was a delay.
There is, because we bought, last week, we bought the Paul Newman Porsche on Mecum.
Right, you told me that.
And we timed it, and we timed roughly a 30-second delay between the streaming online and the guy on the phone.
Which is hard to bid when you're looking at one thing and hearing another.
Yeah, the guy's like, hey, I need an answer here. Yeah. And we're like, wait 28 more seconds, and I'll give you an answer. Yeah.
So Mike's at home, so I'm having to do it all and just tell him. And he's like, well, what do you mean? It doesn't show that we bid that much. You know, I'm like, yeah, well, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, okay. So it went to 130.
Yeah, which was weird because you were hard out at 125.
Right.
You're like 125. You talk to Mike. You're like, it's 125. We heard 130. You're on the phone for a second. You looked at the guy, and you're like, no.
I wave my hand. I go, nope, we're out.
We're out.
All of a sudden, that 130 dropped off the screen.
I don't know where it went.
Yeah, it went away.
It just magically
disappeared. And he points at me and he goes, you're back in at 125. And I go, hey, Mike.
Well, at that point, you didn't have a choice because he's like, you're the high bidder
at 125. Right, exactly, which was fine. We were good with that.
Yeah.
But then 130 popped back up. And I go, Mike, we're out. Mike, we're in. And then I go, oh, somebody bid 130.
Yeah.
We're out. And I said, no, we're out at 130. And then all of a sudden that 130 dropped away again. And he goes, oh, they didn't take that bid. It wasn't any good. And I said, okay. And he goes, and then they dropped the hammer and he goes, that's yours.
125.
Mike's still seeing 130 on the screen at home. And he goes, oh, come on, Brad. I didn't get it, did I? And I go, you did. And he goes, are you sure? And I go, yeah, I'm sure. It just happened.
Yeah.
I'm signing the paperwork.
That's right. Got a photo of you shaking the dude's hand. By the way, Mike, 125.
Yeah, exactly. 125. And all of a sudden he puts me on speakerphone and he goes, it just came up on screen. And you hear all his wife and his kids, yay, we got a car. And so about 30 minutes go by and we're all happy and everything. And all of a sudden I get a text from Mike and he goes, yeah, I'm having second thoughts. I think I'm going to pass on that thing. And And he goes, I'm glad it's on your bidder card. And I said, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, right. I love that about Mikey.
Yeah.
Because you would have done that to him.
Never.
And it was his chance to dish it out a little bit. So 125 was the hammer. It was
it was 137.3 by the time all the fees
went in. Yeah, all.
But
and it's a good car. That's
you
a
could
car.
Not build that car for. It would take you three times that amount.
You know what?
If that,
To get it around to a couple of places, you guys should take it. And Aaron, I'll give you a second. Is you know what? Bring it over to one of like the Expel guys and have them do the clear bra.
Oh, we already talked about it.
Do it underneath. Do the fenders. Do the underneath. That's a kind of a Bobby Alloway move from back in the day when he paints everything underneath. He's like, look, clear bra is not going to last forever, but it'll last a while so we can drive this thing around without screwing it all up.
Exactly.
And plus, that car's tiny. It only cost $9,000 around.
Exactly, yeah. No, we actually talked about that last night because we were Mike and I went to the Roadster show, and the I said, Mike, we got to have that thing wrapped. And I said, the undersides.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So the rock chips and stuff. And he goes, oh, my, I didn't even think about that. He goes, yeah, first place it's going. And I said, okay, cool. You know, so.
It's such a great idea to do that. Just get it done. We work with the Expel. I did it on stuff, and Goldberg did a bunch. And there's a really good installation shop in Corona that we've used. And those guys just nailed it.
Yeah, there's no reason not to.
When that stuff came out, it would turn a little yellow and look like an orange peel. But, man, Goldberg did his silver red eye. I couldn't – you can't even tell.
Yeah.
I had to go to the edge and open the door and see. I was like, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, that stuff has come so far. Mike had his SLGT, that anniversary AMG that he has.
Yeah.
Wrapped and the entire car, and it's got that kind of flat black paint, and you just cannot tell.
You know what's interesting is, yeah, Goldberg's red eye. He wanted the red eye in that that billet silver or something,
mm-hmm.
and there was a problem with sourcing the paint from the factory, and he wanted like the first one, so they actually didn't have enough paint to do the whole car, and they said, we'll paint the car, but how about you get, like, the flat black hood and trunk lid option?
So we don't have to paint it?
And he goes, so we could just do it in that because we have plenty of that. And we talked to the Expel guys, and they said, hey, no problem. We have
they
the crystal
color match?
Clear. No, they have they have the crystal clear bra wrap for the silver. Then they have a satin clear wrap for the matte ones. And when you put it on, it just gives it that same effect.
Yeah.
And just it nails it. Perfect.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Good stuff. It's but no, it was fun. There's nothing better than bidding on a car at auction when you're bidding on somebody else's checkbook.
That's right.
Because you walk away and everybody's patting you on the back. Oh man, now you got a car, and then you go, well, I did buy the car, but it was somebody else.
Yeah, somebody else.
But you know, the other thing that was great was everybody that came up was like, oh man, you got a deal on that car. Oh, it was a great buy.
Yeah.
And even last night at the Roadster show, Mike had a couple guys come up and mention that to him. And that always makes them feel good when they, you know, when they're not going, you know, you paid how much for that car? You know, so.
Where are you going to deliver it to?
It's getting delivered this afternoon down in Newport Beach.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know if he was just going to, like, deliver it to Mike's place so he can hang out with the car for
He took one of his cars back to the building up in Pomona
so that
it could be there and they could all oogle it over the weekends. So.
Yeah, and then send it out, get it ready.
Yeah, because, you know, the best thing to do for that car is to put it in the salt air right now before you put PPF on there.
Well, hell yeah. Hell yeah. So
all that billet. All that fill is going to look so nice with the patina on it.
So let me
get this straight. That car was at Boyd when you were there.
Yes. Yeah.
But it was cool.
That's so cool. Now Mikey has it. That is so cool. Mikey texted me right after he won, and he was like, I got it.
He texted everyone.
I know, everybody.
He texted everyone.
Yeah. There was even,
and then he was like, why is my phone blowing up? I was like, because you told everybody.
Exactly. And there was like on online, there were some of those rock and roll, like, you know, rock blabbermouth and all this stuff. Is Van Halen bassist Michael Anthony and Chickenfoot, you know, guy, he just bought a hot rod, and they don't know anything about it, and they're putting, you know, it was red.
Yeah, you know. It was red. But you're right. When you get into the details.
That's pretty cool, man.
That car was pretty special and built by all the Boyd employees as sort of the side project.
Yeah.
And a lot of the details were sort of uncharacteristically non-Boyd. You know,
I'm glad you brought that up.
The spreader bar and the fenders and, you know, a little bit more of a traditional. So actually, when you see that car, you don't necessarily think it's a straight up Boyd's car. But you're right. Everything being painted has a little bit of that touch to it. I think it's one of the more special ones.
It really is. I told Mike that. I said, Mike, one of the reasons this car is going to be a little bit more valuable, in my opinion, is because of the fact that all the cars we built at Boyd's back in the day, and I always call it pre-TV days, mm-hmm. and, you know, the trademark was Bob the Fenders mm-hmm. severely, you know, spreader bars were gone. You know, all the ancillary things were done away with. Windshields were laid way back. And, you know, no big chrome headlight bar with big headlights.
Yeah.
But this car, because it was Dick's, who was a little bit more of a traditionalist, it has a chrome spreader bar in the front. Mm-hmm. It has the headlight bar with the bigger headlights.
Yeah.
But it still has a billet grille. Yeah. It still has the smooth hood sides.
And Boyd's red.
It's Boyd's red, but the fenders are Bob, but not as dramatically as we did most of
them.
And in the back, it has a spreader bar, but it's a little bit molded in and everything. And underneath, it's all painted and, you know,
which is
smoothie.
The Boyd characteristic.
Right.
I also like that it wasn't really a client car. Like this, this was an in-house car, and it kind of it stayed in-house forever mm-hmm. when the shop manager bought it.
Yeah.
And
because, see, he had another 32
yeah.
that was kind of a purpley cranberry burgundy color, and it was real traditional.
So the real question is, what the hell do you pay your shop managers that they can afford to buy that car for the day?
Well, you know, it's a... But, you know, it was a great car for Mike. I was happy to be part of it and help him acquire it. It's going to be cool. So you'll be seeing it around. So now when you see Mike, you won't know if he has his 34 Roadster mm-hmm. or his 40 Ford or his 32 Ford, because he's got all of those Boyd cars now. So
well, that's cool.
Yeah, so he's got a fenderless, a fendered, and a full-bodied car.
I have a little something to add here in memory of Pete Shapiro. I see it has the same rear end as my 27 Rat Rod. Pete said to me, folks, for those of you that don't know the story, he called me confused one time because he said I had a street rod rear end. I had a Jaguar IRS rear end on my 27 Dodge Brothers Rat Rod. And he said, son, he goes, you're confused. He goes, you can't do that. Said, why can't I do that? There's no rules. He said, son, there's rules. There's etiquette.
There's etiquette. It's hot rod etiquette, man.
Yeah.
And not to correct you, Aaron, but we didn't use Jaguar rear ends. We used all Corvette center sections. Yeah, no, they were all Corvette.
Apologies.
No. I'm just to keep it.
You're absolutely right, yeah.
And we the rear cover was machined out of a big piece of billet. Then we made all of the A-arms and shortened the half shafts.
Yeah.
And you know how the half shafts are normally big, thick? We trimmed. They're real sexy. They look like an hourglass. So there was and then the outer bearing carriers were all machined out of billet on some, and on others were chrome moly steel that were all welded up and chromed.
When you change
there's
the shape.
Good pictures on Barrett Jackson's website.
Oh, yeah.
And it's lot number 1432, if anyone wants to go and look it up. You just look it up by that lot number, and you'll find it.
When you change the shape of the half shafts like that and really mm-hmm. get on the car up on the freeway, do you get any vibration?
No. That was one of the things that our chassis guy, Larry Surjeff, figured out was how he proportioned everything with the bearing carriers and everything like that. So, now, if you really stood on it, you might get a little wheel hop or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But boy, those cars sure handled nice.
Yeah,
you know?
That's nice. That's a good car. I can't wait to see that car.
So it was fun. And so in wrapping up, Barrett Jackson was incredible. We got to see so many great friends. I mean, we hung out with Ken Lingenfelter and saw Bruce Canepa and Bruce Meyer and
Tim Allen was hanging out there.
Yeah, Courtney Hansen. And then other people. There was the football player that was there selling a car, And
sports puck guys, sports ball guys.
You can't remember?
Yeah.
You can't remember? Come on, big quarterback, does all the ads.
What kind of ads? Viagra?
You're supposed to. I think he does like the
Nutrisystem.
No, the back support ads and stuff like that. Damn it! See, I thought you were going to pull it out for me and tell me who it was because I kept looking at him and I go, that guy looks really familiar. Who is that guy? Where do I know him from? And then somebody goes, oh man, did you see so and so up there? And I go,
actually, I was standing next to him. I was like, this guy's huge.
I know. And I went, oh, that's who he is.
Yeah.
Really? God, I should know that. But anyways, and then And then the actor that was there, Cuba Gooding Jr., he was there. And there were a bunch of other people there. It was a busy year, and I think it's because more and more people are finding out about it. And it was cool. Hey, it wasn't Troy Aikman, by the way.
It was not.
No, it wasn't. No, it was another quarterback.
Somebody else.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, we just...
We can't wrap up. We've got some time yet. We got like... 20 minutes to talk about the Roadster show.
I got to go to the Roadster show.
And I drove my first press car.
What'd you drive?
A brand new Mini Cooper Clubman. Actually, it was a loaner car from Mini Cooper because we had our service. But
call it a press car.
Drive it and experience it.
How'd you like it?
It drove much nicer than ours. It was pretty high tech. Build quality was much, much, much better. Surfaces were much nicer. Handled great at pretty good power for a non-turbo. But man, I just kept looking at the window sticker, going, "Are you serious?"
And it's big for a Mini.
Yeah,
it's huge for a Mini. Yeah.
When we got ours back, I was like, "That's it." And I said, "Just for novelties, I'm stopping at the shop just to look at a real one, a 1960." And I went, wow, that literally would fit in the trunk.
Yeah.
Well, hey, real quick before we wrap up, let's talk. Grand National Roadster Show is this weekend, and it's always incredible. And I went out last night with Mikey and Dave Merrick and saw our friends out there. I was trying to see if it said on the thing what year it was. I know it's the fifth. It's over, you know.
It's been running a long time. It's been running a long time.
50th was years ago, so it's got to be way up there. But always fun on setup night if you can gain access, because the builders are hanging around. The guys who are industry guys are out there, and saw a bunch of friends. Saw Bobby Alloway and Steve Strope.
71st, by the way.
71st. I knew it had to get up there. Boy, that's scary.
1949.
I was at the 50th. I had my purple truck at the 50th, so that's scary. I didn't know it'd been that long. The first was pretty damn good, too, I'm telling you. It was a little smaller, a little more low-key, but really nice, really nice. And it's going to be really good this year, and there's some really good cars in contention for the Roadster show. But I want to tell you about one car that I saw there that was really interesting.
Was it a Mini Cooper?
It was not. But okay. It was a Bronco.
Okay.
It was a Bronco.
Oh, yeah.
And Bobby Alloway has it in his booth.
Oh.
And he traded for this. And it is, if I pronounce his name wrong, correct me, Bill Strope. Is it Strop or Strope? He was the big Ford Bronco racer and did all those off-road, it's his personal Bronco. They did limited edition Strope Broncos back in the day, and they were painted kind of reminiscent of the race vehicles, and you could order them. This is his personal one. It's like...
Is it the orange and white?
Yeah, orange, white, and blue.
Yeah.
And it was his personal VIN number one.
Hmm.
And Bobby completely restored it. It's Bobby's personal vehicle, and it's pretty cool. And when you think of...
What is a Bobby Alloway restoration on a
that's what I was just going to say.
Like, does it have 24-inch wheels in the back?
No, but it's slammed on a Morrison chassis.
15s in the front.
And, no, this is actually an honest-to-goodness resto.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. I'll post a photo of it. But when you think of the Bronco market... And
he didn't paint it all black?
No, he didn't.
What
Can you believe
hell?
It? So he was telling me that he has three cars in his booth, and one of them's his personal split window Corvette.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, oh, cool, you brought your Corvette. I guess, well, the only reason I brought it out was because, you know, I've got one of those top loader trailers, and my guys were loading it, and the Bronco didn't weigh as much as the Chevelle, and we needed something to balance it out, so I just threw my Corvette up in there. And
Okay.
Is that
the black with the blue stripes?
Yes.
Yeah.
And now he has a matching 70 Chevelle sitting in the booth that's black with blue stripes and a blue interior, just like the Corvette, and it looks really cool.
Yeah, I think I saw a picture of the display, and it's kind of cool having them kind of match side by side. Yeah,
That's what I said. I go, you got bookends, you know. So, but Roadshow is going to be great. There's lots of great stuff out there. Good cars in contention. Went over into they've got a drag race building, which is really cool. They've got there's 9 buildings out there full of cars, plus all the cars that are outside.
Jeez, that's right. It's huge.
Yeah, it's ginormous. So that's about it.
We were supposed to go down today. Misha's got to go to the embassy, the Czech embassy down there, but we had it pushed till next weekend so we can do a live show together in the studio. And,
cool.
And then it's my son's 18th birthday celebration the next day on that
young
weekend.
Fan.
So we bundled it all into next weekend. Otherwise, I'd be joining you guys at Pomona.
Well, we'll miss you, buddy. But we'll see you next week. Yeah. You'll be here in the studio. And
well, we don't want it to be weird, so when you're in the studio, you need to call in.
Yeah, we'll have you sit at the reception desk and call in.
Sit in the other room with Rick and call in.
Hey, by the way, I know it's been all over the internet, but you guys did see that Corvette, it was like an engineering car. They parked it on the street, and somebody stole the wheels and tires.
And then what? What are you going to do? Put C8 wheels and tires on the internet and go, what are we?
Where'd you get those? Yeah. What's the market for them? You know, but thieves aren't, you know. Did you see how they left it? They just put a 4x4 under the center, and it's sitting there teetering on the rockers.
Right. It's terrible. What else is funny is somebody was telling me yesterday, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say the names, but somebody was, in our industry was at like a swap meet in Florida.
Okay.
And saw new Corvette C8 exhaust manifolds. Somebody just straight up stole them off the assembly line, probably traded them a few times, and they ended up at a swap meet and he bought them. it's a big Chevy guy, somebody in the industry, was like, what the hell? and of course, now it's getting the buzz. We're like, how do these end
what up? What is going on at GM? They're parking their cars on bad streets so the wheels can get stolen.
Their employees
are racing in Bowling Green and getting street racing and getting cars repossessed.
Yeah.
And they got guys stealing stuff. I mean, what is happening?
Hey, you make a cool hot rod like that C8 and shit's going to happen.
Well, it's like they always used to say, everything comes full circle, and you used to hear about in the muscle car days, stuff would disappear, and cars would show up racing on the streets, and all kinds of stuff. I guess it's all back again.
It's all back.
So,
anyway, guys, save the date, March 21st, CarCast Live at the Peterson Museum. There's going to be a big car show, live podcast, screening probably of the Shelby Dock. We're going to have you guys hopefully all be out there, bring some cars.
I'll
maybe
be there.
Bring Mikey's new hot rod. Bring Mikey, put him in the trunk. And so save the date. Tickets will go on sale soon. And
now you're telling me I got to buy a ticket, too?
You do.
Okay.
Nobody else does. So enjoy the Peterson Museum if you haven't seen it yet.
Oh, yeah. It's cool. It's there again.
We're going to have a nice big event.
Hey, and speaking of all things coming back around, we'll be back next week. And you can find us at shiftandsteer.com. Go there because we're going to put up a big gallery of images from the Barrett Jackson auctions, from the RM auctions. I know I took a bunch at Barrett, and Matt took a bunch over at RM and over at the silver auction, I think, that he was going to.
Yeah, I didn't make it over
there. You didn't make it over
there? No. But maybe next week I'll tell you about the new Toyota Supra I've been driving.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you about the McLaren Senna that I bought.
Yeah, sure you did.
I got it way below book.
Yeah, way below book.
And
you know what, too, guys, for the live show, maybe we should do a little reach out and say, because Matt, you said we should bring a car. What car should I bring? Do we want to do a little reach out and see what people want to see from Tahoe?
March 21st.
I think you should drive Red Voodoo down.
Yeah, so we have Red Voodoo, we have October Moon, we have the Pinsgauer, we have the 57 Triumph, we have the 1960 Mini Cooper. The Porsche isn't drivable. All of neither really. Is
oh wait, everything else on that list is. Yeah.
But yeah, I'll bring one down. So you guys tell me what one.
Just
you
do a safety test and, before you come down. Yeah, man. Make sure there's lug nuts and
drive the Pinsgauer and tow Red Voodoo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's what you do.
Red Voodoo would be pretty good to show down there. I have to say,
but that, you got
to
tow it with the Pinsgauer.
Okay. Well, I probably won't make it on time.
Well, leave now. Leave now.
2 weeks. It will pull it, but only at about 3 miles per hour.
That's fine. Hey, going this direction, isn't it all downhill?
It's downhill. Yeah. Hell yeah. I look on the map. It says it is.
So it's down south.
All right, everybody. Hey, remember, please go to iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. Leave a comment. And that helps us tremendously. It's always really important. And you can find us all on Instagram. I know I'm at Bradley_Fanshaw.
I'm at Moderator.
And Aaron is on there as, I think it's Pinsgauer AA, right?
Yeah.
a Pinsgauer Bobby. Yeah, I'm on
yeah, and if you can spell Pinsgauer, you're halfway there.
Just Google
just
Aaron
Google
Hagar.
Aaron.
Every time you do it, tickles him and it giggles. Yeah. thanks, guys.
We're gonna do an iPhone ringer that's just Aaron's, you know. Say, shift your steer. So, all right, everybody. Thanks for listening to Shift
Happy
and Steer.
New Year.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.